Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 255. This is the show where we talk about Android applications. That's the French way of saying it. Or how do you say it in French?
Application.
I think that's Mexican.
That sounds good anyway. We got a bunch of guys on the show, bring a bunch of apps, and hopefully we can talk about some apps you guys have never heard of before, and we can enlighten you on what to download on your devices and phones and such. This is Friday, so it's our special Empty the Tank episode, where we basically unload everything we have in our notes, in our minds, on our person, anything. Any apps that we didn't talk about throughout the week, we talk about on this show. So get ready for a barrage. Let me introduce the co-hosts, and we'll get right into it, starting with the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin from podnuts.com. What's up, Door?
Hey, Steve. Exhausted, but I'm sure I'm going to be exhausted-er when this show is done.
Yes. I feel it. I feel the exhaustion. Mm-hmm. Also joining us, Eric Ardini from DiniMedia.com. What's up, Eric?
I'm just glad to be here, gentlemen. I really didn't know if I was going to make it. Comcast had failed on my internet connection today.
That's impossible. Oh,
so unlike them.
Yeah.
I'm sure they delivered great customer service to get it fixed up for you.
Oh, they did. Yeah. They offered me a chance to have a service tech come out.
125.
And I go, well, ding. I go, that'd be great. Could get them out here today. And they're like, 14 days from now, they could get somebody here to look at my broken internet.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that was the best they could do.
So your internet's down, let's say, and they expect you to wait 14 days to get it back up.
And charge me $40 for somebody to come out.
Oh,
and
my God.
Here's the worst part. Their office is in town here. We have a Comcast office in town, which they're closing in 30 days from now.
Dude.
So if it's this bad now, how bad will it be when that office is done? And the closest office is over an hour away then.
Dude, it's the worst company on the planet.
Absolutely the worst company on the planet. And they're buying another company, Time Warner, so they'll be even worse.
Worser.
Anybody who has Time Warner cable and internet now, if you think your customer service is bad and you think it might get better because this is a big company and they don't do things right, the new company you're getting is by far the worst customer service you will ever experience in your life. I guarantee. I've talked to Microsoft on the phone. That I thought was the worst. But you know what? Comcast is even worse. They are unapologetically horrible.
Jeez. Dude, I feel you, man. Well, that sucks.
Unapologetically and almost arrogantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monopolistically.
What are you going to do? Get internet from the... Oh, that's right. There's no other service provider in your town. Oh, I guess you're going to wait 14 days then, aren't you, sir?
Oh, my gosh. Eric, feel so bad, man.
That's all right.
Move to Florida.
I got wire clippers. I'll just cut their wires. Okay. Maybe if they would have came out here. I thought that's what I had to do to fix it. And, after 7 days of waiting, I just couldn't wait no more.
That's the way to stick it to the man, Eric.
Eric, why don't you cheer us up with some apps you have for this week in your tank?
Yes. So I went from that to another problem. I had a bunch of business cards all over my desk. So I went out to look for a good business card scanner. I know that you can buy a scanner like at Staples that scans business cards, but I'm like, you know what? I got a smartphone. I'm going to see if there's an app for it. Of course there's an app for this. Camcard Business Card Reader by IntSig Information Company Limited. That may ring a bell because they make the most awesome scanner program I've ever used called Cam Scanner.
Same company?
Same company.
Wait a minute.
Cam Scanner rocks. Wait a minute.
I thought Cam Scanner did do business cards. It doesn't?
I don't know. Maybe I bought this for no reason, but I'll tell you one thing it does. This basically sets up a new contacts list in your phone, which you can arrange by, like, say, all these cards have to do with insurance. These cards have to do with real estate. These cards have to do with IT. It'll organize them all. And basically, you take a picture of a card with your phone. It does its processing. You know, I was talking about last episode about Wave apps, how it does its processing and throws it up in the cloud. It takes about a minute. This takes literally 5 seconds of processing at the most. And it rips that card apart down to its elements, it knows what the fax number is on that card and puts it in the fax section. It knows what the phone number is. It knows what the person's title is, their address, where they work. One of the reviews says, I wish I could give it 7 stars. Where's the 7 stars? But this works very, 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 very well.
Wow.
The only card I had a problem with was a really funky font, and it got most of that correct.
Wow. Good for these guys, man. They rock.
You know, I immediately bought the 99-cent version. I didn't even mess around with the free one because I've already paid for Cam Scanner, and that I love that program so much. I knew that this one was going to be good. Mm-hmm. And I think the only difference, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Rhino, for mentioning that. It's usually $11.99. Right now, it's $1.
Oh, well, Whoa. Then I got to buy it right now.
I don't know how long it has been $1. I only started looking for it today when I needed it. Or how long it will be $1 for. Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Rhino, for pointing that out. What else was I going to say about it? I don't know. The limitations. If you don't pay for the premium version, I think you can scan 50 at once originally and then 2 a day after that. But if you pay for it, I think you can scan 1,000 the first day and 50 a day after that, or something like that. It's just the amount of cards that you can scan is what makes the difference there.
And it uploads them to I see a guy using it on his MacBook in the picture. What is it? Goes somewhere to a cloud service?
You know, I'm hoping that I can export them to the computer or to my Outlook or whatever. I haven't got that far with it yet. I was just so impressed at how it have filled in the blanks on these contact pages and organized them for me. I just had to bring it tonight. But no, that's my ultimate goal, is to place them on a computer later, so I don't have to leave them on my phone. But then it also has another thing that I've also not tried out, where if you run out of physical cards, and I think maybe the other person has to have it installed on their phone, but you can swap your card with them by like tapping or something, nice.
Nice.
Yeah. I will say, instinctively, I look at this and I almost laugh. I'm not getting this. The video that's using an iPhone, the guy's doing it on a MacBook Air. But this is a company that I know does, I don't want to say the best applications. Man, they do some really nice apps. So why not? I mean, evidently, I might become more professional and need this, so it's only 99 cents.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, there was a few other ones in the App Store. I didn't even look after I saw this.
Very cool. Good one, man. What else you got going on?
We got the Walmart Android app. I don't know. Okay, now I've been playing with this for a couple weeks because somebody at work told me about this. But then I saw that they had a big ad during the football game last weekend. What Walmart's doing now, if you buy something at Walmart, this Walmart app has a thing called the savings catcher built in. Basically, you know, the Walmart app is like the Amazon app. You can check out prices. You can, you know, see what they got, you know, order from there, whatever. But if you go to Walmart store, which I know some of us in this podcast tend to sometimes at 3 a.m, and you buy something there and you think that it may be on sale somewhere else in town, you scan this with you scan your receipt, the bottom of your receipt with this app, and it will, it takes about a week, but it'll check all the local advertisements for your area. And if they find that item that you bought at Walmart cheaper somewhere else, they'll credit your Walmart account the difference.
Oh my God. They'll do all the searching?
They'll do all the searching for you. It's not immediate. It takes a while. But
I wonder how hard they search.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't. The lady at work who told me about it said that she ended up getting $6 back.
Jeez.
And I don't know how much she spent or what she bought. They didn't find anything for me, but I only bought like 2 items and I don't think there were anything that would match anywhere. It was probably like great value brand something or other, whatever, you know, index cards or something, whatever. But no, it's real. It does. You can actually get some credit from Walmart.
That's crazy. That's kind of crazy. It's almost scary, crazy, like almost unfair advantage kind of crazy. Like, if the people actually all implement this, Walmart will just take over the world.
Well, everybody else could do it too, though.
Yes, but to have the infrastructure to do this is no easy task, no simple task.
So just like pay people, $6, $7, $8, here you go, here you go, here you go, money.
Well, this is, dare I say, how a company has swagger. You know, we're making so much money, we can just give people back money. and I mean, don't get me wrong. They're doing some kind of data mining on the stuff, because now they know, oh, the same person that buys, even if you pay with different mechanisms, today you pay cash, tomorrow you pay credit card, the next day you use a gift card, they know, oh, it's all the same person. So they are getting value out of people using this app. But if money is important to you and you visit Walmart, dude, I mean, I would probably use this. I just don't ever, the wife actually doesn't trust me shopping. So that's really the reason why I don't go.
I would forget to use this.
It is printed at the bottom of every receipt now.
I would still forget.
And there, you can scan either the barcode or the QR code. I've had no luck scanning the QR code. It always had to be the barcode. So for whatever reason. I don't know.
Very cool, though. That's interesting. Very interesting to know about that. Thanks, dude.
You're welcome. My next app is called Xtrudy. E and then capital X, T-R-U-D-Y. Xtrudy. This is an app which I don't really have a big use for, but I thought it was really cool when I saw it. This is for people who have a 3D printer. And basically, you go through the process of this app and you can turn a 2D object into 3D to print it out on your 3D printer. And what they show in the demo is basically it's a Hunger Games like symbol. And this is a 2D picture of it. But after the manipulation of the object, and then you can add a little little clasp at the top so that this could end up being a pendant on your necklace. You make the 3D thing, print it out, and then you've got a pendant of the Hunger Games logo. That's just the idea here. But you can basically turn anything with the work of this app and your creativity, anything that's 2D drawn into a 3D printable file.
Wow. That is pretty intense.
Someday I will need this, I hope.
Someday we'll all need this, because I really hope, in 5 years or whatever, every house has a 3D printer. That would just be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you print with it?
Pod nuts keychains. I don't know.
Cell phone cases.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, Anything that you break in your house, a new one.
Yeah. Great for parents. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
I might make cat toys with it.
Yeah. Yeah. You could probably print a ball inside of a textured ball so that the cat would never be able to get the ball out of the inside one.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. When we visited the Microsoft store, they gave me a handful of chain links that they printed off. A purple chain link.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome.
All right. That's my tank, fellas.
That's a great tank. I really enjoyed that tank.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, man. Good stuff. All right, Thor, you think you can beat that?
I don't know. I'm very confused and concerned with Rhino in the chat saying moves like Jagger. That just scares me a little bit. I'm just gonna say.
I think you were talking about Walmart swagger.
Ah,
maybe. I don't know.
Good night.
You know that's a Maroon 5 song.
He didn't know that. Yes. Did you know that, Dor?
Yes, and here's the only reason why. Two years ago, a company party for my wife, we went, they hired a DJ, and they literally had what I think, and I'm not an ageist person whatsoever, was about an 80-year-old woman with glittery pants on, holding a mic, singing and dancing that song, and it's like scorned me. Every time I hear that song now, I like instantly go, I get to shakes and cold sweat.
That's horrible.
Yeah. So that's why that really concerned me. It brought back those memories, but I digress.
Yeah.
After five right. minutes. The first app I want to bring up, we've had a lot of Tasker and Tasker-like applications. This app used to be called Mini Tasker. Now it's called Condi, C-O-N-D-I. It is free, 99% sure, free. And it gives you a very nice, easier to use, simpler interface, more for the normal layman user, I'll say, to do all kinds of automated tasks with their device. I don't think we're ever going to see this niche of applications ever run dry. We're going to have an endless supply of these kind of apps. So this is just another one, I'll say.
Previously Mini Tasker.
This could be a good stepping stone into heavy duty, customization of your device, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. A very good stepping stone. In fact, cause the barrier of entry is much lower. You can literally just read and commonsensically like flow chart your way into a solution. Well, every time
that's pretty cool.
Every time I come home, I want my Wi-Fi to automatically turn on,
How do I make it so if I go in my car, my Bluetooth turns on, and when I'm not in my car, I want it off?
NFC tag?
Well, you could do NFC tag if your phone is NFC capable. The other thing I've seen people do with that is there are applications, I don't know if Condi can do it, can tell the difference between a normal car, a normal charge connection and a car charger connection, because it's a different... I
want
to say,
but I don't want that because sometimes I don't have it on charge in the car.
Okay.
I've never used NFC. I'm not opposed to it. How does that work? Good.
Well, your phone has to have it. I'll say that because it's a Nexus 5. You can buy these little tags. They're like a dollar, maybe a piece, or you can get like 20 of them for $5. It's just a little like disc you just put on your car mount itself.
Yeah.
And then there are many free apps like this where you can basically say when this NFC tag gets hit, do this action. So every time you put it in, it just automatically happens.
I'm going to get one. I can't wait to do that. That's my next thing.
Man, Steve, I'm having the same issue too. I just started using a Bluetooth in my car. Or I started using the van and it doesn't have an aux in. So I'm using my Motorola Bluetooth FM transmitter to radio.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. I'm just laughing. It's like you live a life of FM.
Yeah. Too much listening to AM. I think FM's cool now.
And it's, what is it, flaky?
No, I just got to turn on my Bluetooth and turn it off. Because what'll happen, because it's not built into the car, the Bluetooth stays on because I just leave it plugged in all the time. I'll walk into the office and the Bluetooth's good enough that it stays connected to my car out there, so I'll never hear it ring.
That's the thing that happens to me. Like my apartment's very close to my car, and it just flakes out a little bit.
Okay, now what I've seen people do with car situations like this is they literally buy two NFC tags, okay? They put one on the car mount itself, and then they put one like on the inside of the door frame. So when you come in, you put it in the car mount, it turns on your Bluetooth. When you go out your car, you just put it by that. As you're getting out of the car, you put it by that door jamb and it will turn off the Bluetooth.
Oh, I thought just leaving it, like it leaving the proximity of the NFC, it'll turn it off.
NFC is basically like it's like a one-time event trigger. It can do one thing. So if you want the ability to turn on and off, you need to have a second one to turn it off.
We'll have to split a sheet of 20 or something, Steve.
All right.
I noticed on this app, I think it's really cool. Just this is just a great basic what you get with this app, you know, like a stepping stone or silence calls from unrecognized numbers. Some people might really want to do that, and that's simply turn on or off that thing to do that. You know, that's just if anybody, this is an idea of what kind of things you can do with this.
Huh. Yeah,
it's definitely good.
That's badass.
Play All the Money song when the time is 7:45 and repeat Monday through Friday.
All the money?
Yeah, I don't know what All the Money is, but
I have no idea.
That's in there?
All about the money.
All about the money.
Play that at 7:45 and repeat Monday through Friday. Must be when he's walking into work, you know, because he's got to be at work at 8.
That's just coworkers love him.
It's all about the money, money, money.
Oh, it wasn't old enough for me to know. I'm sorry.
The Ching Ching.
No. Okay. Okay. That app was Condi, previously Minitasker, CONDI. This next is, in my humble opinion, gorgeously done game. Whenever I find a game that I think is really, really good looking, I almost have to bring it up. And yes, I have this installed on my son's tablet and on my phone. No in-app purchases. It was $4.99. This is like we were talking to Mike. I don't mind paying for a game that's good, period. I got my extended free trial on this, and after a day or so, I just had to buy it. It's just, to me, it was just that good. Utterly, ridiculously smooth. It does have the mindset of an endless runner, which I'm not a fan of, but...
What's it called?
It's called Counter Spy.
Okay.
I thought I put it in the chat. I did put it in the chat.
You did, but I don't think you said it.
No, I didn't.
Unless it's me.
I didn't. You're right. I keep doing that. But yeah, Counter Spy, all one word, by PlayStation Mobile, Inc. A really fun game because, A, it holds your hand very well through the game. When you do something new, it literally slows down the game, pauses it, tells you what you got to do, and then allows you to do it. Really does a good job of holding your hand through the first learning process. And I like how it literally, you have to play it for more than a half an hour before you actually get through all of the, this is a new experience to you playing the game kind of thing. Like, now in this level, you have to do A. Next level, you have to do B. Next room, you have to do A and B. Next room, you have to do C. You know, next room, you have to do A and C. You know,
it looks amazing.
Yeah. This was another game where I installed and my son literally just wouldn't stop cackling about
this,
how much
the artwork, the way the people are drawn in this thing are just so, it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. And I know I might bring a fair amount of games to a good amount of games, but I'm telling you people, 90%+ of the good games I find don't make it into this show. These are only the best that I really try to bring in. So this one I had to bring, I thought, seriously.
Yeah, man. It's a good one.
This next app, that was Counter Spy, all one word. This next app, I don't even know if this is a real service or a real thing, but they try to make it sound like it is. It's called Stevie for Chromecast. S-T-E-V-I-E. Stevie. And it's by Stevie TV LTD. Have you guys ever heard of Stevie?
No.
No, what is it?
They try to make it sound like, oh, yeah, it's Stevie. Everyone knows Stevie. Yeah, it's Stevie. It's basically a very Chromecast-centric app, but you don't have to use it on the Chromecast. You can literally just watch the videos on your device. But here's the interesting thing, I thought. A couple of things. One, by default, you have almost a headline news-esque thing going on where your video is playing, but you have a ticker on the bottom showing tweets and stuff from people tweeting or Facebooking about Stevie. And then on the right, it has like images to popular things or trending things. You can in the interface maximize that so you only see your video. I just thought it was interesting that they're offering a different perspective of watching videos. It does also have very popular instant access channels, whether you're going to check out something like TED, BuzzFeed, College Humor, you know, all these other ones. Right there, instant access to, or you can go for like Staff Picks, which I will say the Staff Picks, I don't think had a lot of videos in them. Where Five By, you hit Staff Picks and you could go on for an hour. With, you know, something new, something new, something new, something
maybe
new.
There's not a lot of staff.
That's the only thing I gathered, not a lot of staff. And I will ask people this, and I'll ask you, Eric. I know you at least use your Chromecast a little bit. I have the only app that I get really true solid Chromecast playing with is YouTube. every other app I ever use, I get a dropout. Sometimes it's 20, 30 minutes and then it drops out and loses connection. Sometimes it's 3 minutes and drops out. I'm starting to think it's my access point, because my access point is literally a Linksys blue and gray box, WRT54GL. I mean, this thing is...
That's probably a problem. I don't have... There's very rarely do I have any problems with it. I brought Popcorn Time a few shows back.
Right.
That's about the only one that's really flaky for me.
Gotcha.
There's reasons for that.
I can't believe you would think an access point from the 70s would be causing your problems, Dorf.
Hey, that's the one you can hack, man.
Actually, no. I got it thinking it was the one I could hack, and it's not the one I can hack.
Oh.
So it still has the default firmware on it. I know I got to get around to it, but I will say I got to, I have to talk to Martin Obando, because he deals a lot with small businesses kind of thing. And that's the kind of, my logic is the throughput and power that I'm looking for. So I'm going to have to ask him what hardware he recommends.
If you're almost getting it done with a 54G, WRT 54G, you could probably buy anything off the shelf and be just fine and light up your whole yard.
I don't care about my yard. I don't care outside. I'm a dork.
Block and a half.
Block and a half. Yeah.
Okay. Well, sticking with the video stuff and Chromecast, I want to throw this one out there. This is a very siloed one. This is just, okay, that last one, I'm sorry, was called Stevie for Chromecast. This one is Daily Motion. Everyone has had to have heard of Daily Motion kind of thing. They have a lot of content out there. I will say, if you're at all a fan of the content, then you're going to like it. There's a lot of, like, I literally found myself, and this was the quote unquote old Steve C as far as I'm concerned. I literally found myself at one point in time sitting there for 2 hours straight just watching fail videos. But every time where I knew somebody was literally going to get hurt, I turned my head, because I just don't want to watch somebody break their leg or whatever.
Yeah. That's the thing with fail videos, got really violent. Like, it used to be funny fail. Yeah. Now it's like bone breakers. Yeah, I don't watch that.
But there's way too much video out there.
Well, most of the stuff was genuinely funny, harmless, or just someone doing something stupid kind of thing. But, right. You know, a fail of a guy getting hit by a car going 30 miles an hour. No, that's not a fail video. That's a nearly dead video.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm not a fan of that.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't like fail videos. I watched a guy break his big toe the other day. Compound fracture. The toe's like sideways, barely hanging on there, but ugh.
I watched a guy die on a motorcycle. It was presented in a way that the mother of the guy released it to help people, like, make an impression on them to watch out for motorcycles and stuff. And it's this guy going 100 miles an hour on a motorcycle. A car pulls in front of him, he hits it, and he dies. He had a GoPro helmet on his helmet.
Oh.
And, So, yeah, there we go.
Not cool. But there's also plenty of other videos on there. They try to make a lot of, like, comedy stuff, I'll say. And, you know, it's kind of... And there's a lot of hipster, you know, stuff that I just don't want to watch. But it did have some really good stuff on there. Of course, I couldn't show my kids this fail videos, because, you know, I don't want them to laugh at other people's misfortunes. That's not till you get older. Okay. This next one, me and Steve should know at least. It's called Git Response. I wasn't completely aware of them until we started the AA club. Git Response it looks to me like it's really heavily geared towards newsletter communications and management. I will say this. This is like buying a Lamborghini, but all you do is take your kids to school in it. We're not utilizing the full power of Git Response yet. It is a very, I will say, impressive service. Very impressive service. There is, I think, at least some limited free stuff you can do. We are going to end up paying for it just to get more features, even though I do think it's only a 30-day thing we have right now. But if you are thinking about starting a newsletter for anything, whether it's a computer repair business, whether it's a family thing, an extended family thing, whether it's a local thing, whether you want to start a newsletter complaining about your local school finding kids your homework, you can do it with GetResponse.
Have you, Steve or Dor, have you guys been using this on Android, or were you originally using it on PC? Or
I think I installed it. I used it once. I didn't even know it was there was an app till this week. But I've just been using it on my PC right now. Dor, have you used the app?
I didn't know the app existed until you said something to me, because it didn't even cross my mind. I'm still using the web thing for one reason. I can't find a way in the app to have it notify me of a new subscription. You know, like, dare I say, if I see my kid hold the door open for somebody, or I see my kid on his own saying please or thank you, you know, I, you know, thank him. I like, oh, good jobs. You know, some people say I give my kids too much positive feedback. Those people, quote unquote, are teachers, which I don't listen to them. that's the way I look at this app. The way I look at GetResponse is every time you have a new subscriber, it's positive feedback. I like positive feedback, but I can't figure out a way to get the app to notify me. So I still use the web.
Gotcha. Kind of thing. Yeah.
But yeah, cool, so, man. So far, very happy with the app. I don't think I'm going to be disappointed anytime soon.
Yeah.
And that was GetResponse. Okay. This is another one that Steve might use, or anybody really out there might use, because really, in realistic terms, okay, nobody should have anything and say, oh, yeah, you can check me out on Facebook. Or, you know, someone asks, what's your website? It's twitter.com/my website. No, that's not your website. Okay. We should all have something that we own. Okay. This app helps you monitor for activity or mentions of it. It's called Media Toolkit, all one word. Very simple app in the sense of not a lot of bells and whistles, but what it essentially does is it lets you set, keywords or hot words that anytime these words get mentioned, you can get notified. And it does have a very tight integration with media services, Twitter, Facebook, others. Good. Kind of thing. Where like cool. I just make like a list: Pod Nuts, Door to Door Geek, Android App Addicts, Health Nuts, Geeksters, you know, all the shows. So anytime someone mentions a show publicly, kind of thing, I get a ping. It's a really good way to do like sanity checks and health of your public reach with your, you know, brand, I'll say.
Yeah, this is like if anybody uses Google Alerts, this would be the Google Alerts for social media.
Yeah, very well said.
Yeah, exactly. Good job, sir.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame, Facebook, what they've done, and it really has hurt my producer podcast. I'll do a show with a DJ, and I'll be like, yo, let your fans know about this. And I'll be like, cool, I'll put it on my Facebook. You know, with this Facebook new algorithm now, it doesn't matter how many people are following you. Like, if you're a band or a group or a business, if you post it on your timeline, it only goes out to like 6% of them. You have to pay to get it, that message right out to all the people that are following you.
Yep.
Oh man, that's harsh. I think that almost, honestly, to me, that's where Facebook is like at the very top right now. And this is where they're going to go down. Their people are going to move to different services if they can't reach their fans. But for the next 2 years, though, Facebook is going to make billions of dollars with that maneuver. But they're not going. It's not going to take them, I don't think, that far into the future.
Yeah,
I agree. I try Facebook every now and then. I cannot find anything I'm looking for at all.
Yep, I'm not a huge fan either. I'm only doing it really for like the podcast, and now it sucks even for that.
Yeah, I will say, here's the kind of thing that I think has the potential. I don't think this is going to be the one, but this is a possibility.
Pinterest. It's
called indie web. This is much more of a, dare I say, old approach, where everyone had their own blogs and everyone had their own website before Facebook and stuff. IndieWeb allows you to have much more of an integrated federation, i.e., I have a blog, okay? I can have my post automatically federate out to like-minded people. So hypothetically, something I post on my website could get federated to Steve C.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means, that usage of federated.
And that's where I'm almost in there, man. Okay. This is what the federated server does, is I publish it on my website. It then automatically gets federated to other websites. So it could get automatically published to your website, showing it's my posting on your website. If someone then comments on your website on my posting, that then comes back to my website. It's a way to control more your own stuff, but you can in very easy ways connect these services out to Facebook, to Twitter, to Orca, to whatever, all these other services, so you can do the posse approach, which is post on site, syndicate everywhere, or something like that. There was a guy on This Week in Google who went into an individual product that I haven't been able to find yet or look at. I want to say it's called Gnome or Gnome, where it's a thing you can install on your web server that you can instantly start federating with other websites and instantly.
Can you explain what that means? I don't know what federating means.
Well, if you think of Star Trek and the United Federation of Planets,
it always comes back to federation.
It does.
Star Trek.
It's either that or food. One or the other. A federation is sites working together, either pooling resources or sharing information. It's either one or two ways, and most of the time it's both.
That's what a federation is. So to federate means what? The verb. I've never heard the verb form. I know it exists, but I never defined it.
Is the act of pushing or pulling in information, and the information will appear more native on all people's websites. It won't look really good on mine and really bad on yours or really bad on Twitter. It will intelligently federate it. So when it does it to Twitter, it will literally give a summary and then a web link. Where on Facebook, it might give the whole thing with hashtags done correctly, you know?
I gotcha. That's cool.
Yeah. I don't want to say it's the future of the internet, but
I hope it is. I mean, it'd be nice. That's
right. My logic is it's going to go in that direction. I don't know how close we're going to get to that end goal of having it like that, but I know we're going to go in towards that direction. Where, to be honest, services like Squarespace will just hand me glove, fit right in with that model, because they'll give you the platform to do it.
It's still, I think what made Facebook so great is just the simplicity that somebody could have a presence on the website and almost know nothing about technology.
You say that. I say Facebook got to where it was because it allowed grandparents to actually log in and create accounts.
Well, same kind of thing. It made it really, really easy.
Yeah.
To have a web presence.
Right.
Yeah.
And now for something completely different. That was called Media Toolkit, all one word. This, we're going back to a game. Love the graphics on this game. It's called Cubed Rally Redline.
Redline sounds good.
It's almost like Excitabike in 3D, because you're going your main direction is up, so you're always either going up and left or up and right. You have five lanes you can be in.
This looks awesome.
Sometimes there's obstacles in your lane. Sometimes there's bonuses in your lane. Sometimes there's jumps in your lane. So it's all about picking the right lane to be in, and you can move fast or slower, but you only have a limited amount of gas, so you don't want to go too slow or you run out all your gas. There are jumps involved. Avoid trees, avoid owls, all kinds of stuff like that. This is also the game where literally my son just could not stop cackling until...
Dude, all right, I got to stop you here.
Okay.
Does he cackle for every game?
Well, he's a happy kid, so unless it's a, shooter game, yes.
There's that positive reinforcement again.
Yeah, exactly. Until he got to the point where the game got too hard for him, then he got really mad at the game.
Well, door there. I'm looking at the screenshots, and there's parts where there's just stuff lined up in every single lane. Does your car just blast through stuff?
No. You will hit it.
Just slows it
down. No. There's always a way. Like in one of the scenes, you see a barn. You have to go in the barn. And then what happens is it turns into like a Hollywood movie thing where you like jump out the back of the barn and jump over top stuff. You just don't see the ramp.
It's like slot racing too. I see.
Yes.
I'm playing it right now. I had to install it. It looks amazing. And you're right. The graphics are so smooth.
Yeah.
But it reminds me more of RC Pro-Am than Excitebike for some reason.
I'll go for that. Yes. Because with RC Pro-Am, you were always going at a 45 degree angle from the screen. You were never going directly right, left, up, or down. Yeah.
But it is like Excitebike for the lanes.
But you also have gas. And the main thing is you can never run out of gas. So whenever you see a gas power up, you know, you got to go for that. Now, it does look like in the screenshots, I never got to it. There's also points where you might have to time your jumps to like jump over top boats without hitting stuff. And there's even a boat. I never saw the boat. That's like Spy Hunter. Where in Spy Hunter, you would go into it, become a boat kind of thing. So that's awesome.
Dude, I love it. I'm going to be playing that one for reals.
Yeah.
Cool, dude. And that was called Cubed Rally Redline.
Good name.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, that's the tank. Is it your tank?
That is my tank, sir.
Nice tank.
Good tank.
All right, boys. We made it through another week with some great shows this week. I think we kicked some butt. And I'm not trying to be like arrogant or anything. I just think the shows were good.
Yeah, and I won't be arrogant either, but Mike almost stole the thunder. I'm not going to lie. I was a little worried I wasn't going to be on this episode, and he was going to ask Mike to come back.
That's awesome. The thing about Mike is he brought so many things that really struck a chord with me as far as games I used to play that I haven't thought of in a long time. So to me, that was very cool. And you guys brought some kick butt apps. It was a good week. Do you guys want to say anything before we end off, Dor?
I want to thank everybody for all the support they give. Join the club. I promise you two things. We're going to be giving away more stuff that we're not even going to announce on the show because they're just going to be like exclusive, quiet giveaways. Like here's a good example. The MK802. It's a little, you know, computer, like twice the size of a thumb drive. If I tried to give this away on the show, I mean, how many people are going to enter in for it? I don't expect a lot of people because it's not powerful. It's not great. It's not the super cool thing, but I would like to give it away to someone who would find a good home for it. You know what I mean? So these are the kind of things I'm going to be giving away in the club itself.
I would honestly, if somebody was giving that away on a show, I would join their club. I think that's a cool device.
Me too.
Yeah. Perks of the club.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for bringing some awesome goods this week, Dor.
Thank you, sir.
And Enrico, what would you like to say to the peeps?
I'm going to miss you guys next week.
Oh, that's right.
I miss you already. Yeah.
All right. You know what's going to happen. Cody's going to be vying for your position.
Yeah, he's probably going to do like 42 episodes so he can get to the 300th episode while I'm gone that day.
Okay. Here's a little secret, Eric. Are you ready? Don't wear a infinity scarf and we'll be happy to welcome you back.
Okay. I can promise you in the next week or two, I will not wear an infinity scarf.
Thank you, sir.
I lost so much respect. Just from you showing me that picture. I don't care if they released brand new MacBooks that could float through the air. If that guy presented them, I would be not impressed.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks, Eric. Looking forward to having you back and enjoy your Chicago visit.
It's only fair that they roll out some unknown guy to give the presentation that would underwhelm. You don't want to have your A players up there, you know, giving a kind of a boring kind of news.
You think they made him wear that scarf to just be underwhelming so the other players would look better?
He might have chose that, but he might have read the script first and be like, you know what? I need to get something to distract their minds off of this boring product I'm showing them. let's try this. Hey, honey, can I borrow? Oh, yeah, go ahead. I think you need to.
Don't get it dirty.
Wait. Let me pick one out.
Spill your coffee on it again.
This one would look great on you. All right. My name is Steve Cherubino. You can check out my other show that I do. It's called The Producer Podcast, where I interview kick-butt DJs and producers of electronic music. I mean, guys that are traveling the world, playing for thousands of people, and just like reinventing music. It's a blast. And if you're into EDM, electronic dance music, I hope you'll like the show. I think you will. It's at theproducer.club. Check it out. That's going to be it for Android App Addicts for today. Remember to join the AAA Club at podnuts.com/AAA Club. Enter our contest. Be part of our live streams. Join the fun. We would love to have you. And have a great weekend. Later.